I'm going to carry on talking about Battles and Blessings, which is a series that I started a few weeks ago, when we're looking at some of the battles that we have to face in life and the blessings that God has for us, and the fact that the two are not always mutually exclusive the way that we think. Rick Warren says he used to think that the Christian life was a succession of battles and blessings, battles followed by blessings, but now he tends to think of it more as being like on two tracks. We're going to talk about some of the problems that we have today, some of the pits of peril that we face in life. But I just want us to think for a moment about that idea that, you know, life is a bit like railway tracks. They're parallel tracks of battles and blessing. They're not sort of mutually exclusive. We don't live on a monorail, you know, where it's just battle and then it's just blessing. But sometimes we have to kind of combine the two things. It's as if God, you know, takes us through the battles and pours blessings out at the same time. And when Stephen was little, we used to watch the Thunderbirds program. Don't know if you've ever seen Thunderbirds. Thunderbirds was a puppet show where International Rescue used their amazing spacecraft to save the world. And obviously, you know, as a young lad, he really liked this idea of spacecraft and rescue. And one of his favourite episodes was called The Pit of Peril. And in that, the Thunderbirds team was called out to rescue a US Army vehicle known as the Sidewinder. And this had fallen into this burning landfill, and they'd got to rescue the crew before they died of heat exposure. That was Thunderbirds 2. That was his favourite Thunderbird spacecraft. And then, you know, this was the Sidewinder that had fallen into this pit of peril. And it was so deep, this pit, that only their specialised equipment that they had on their spacecraft could actually, you know, rescue the army crew. Yes, that was the mole, known as the mole, a tunnel boring machine to rescue everybody. And, you know, life often seems to have pits of peril for us, doesn't it? You know, we face all kinds of struggles in life, and sometimes these seem to involve being in a deep pit of trouble. The troubles can be different. You know, it could be financial problems, it could be health problems, relationship problems, loneliness, bereavement, persecution. But the feeling that we get in all of those troubles is that, you know, we're out of our depth. We're in a deep pit. We're in a place where we feel it's so desperate that we do need International Rescue to come and get us out of the mess. And the Bible talks a lot about those kinds of pits of peril. In Psalm 40, verses 2 to 3, David said, "God lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him." You know, when we feel, when we think about the battles that we face in God, we sometimes feel, you know, it's like being in this slimy pit, in this pit of peril. But God is able to rescue us and bless us and give us a firm place to stand. You know, we might not have International Rescue to come and help us, but we've got a rescuer who is stronger and more powerful than any other team in the entire world. We cry to God out of the depths, but we find that there's no place so deep that his love and his power can't reach us. And I'd like to look this morning at three people who face trouble and pits of peril, often in a literal sense, and look at the blessings that they also experience through their battles. And as we look at these three people, we can see that sometimes battles are self-inflicted. Other times, though, they're completely out of our control. The common factor in every battle that we face is that we've got a God who's able to deliver us and rescue us from trouble. David says in Psalm 18 that God rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. So whatever pit of peril you're in today, you know, God is our deliverer and our rescuer. We can experience blessing even in times of battle. The first person that I'd like us to look at is Joseph. In Genesis 37. Now, Joseph, you know, a very famous character, one of Jacob's 12 sons, with his multicoloured coat. You know, we've even had a musical written about him, you know, Joseph and his amazing Technicolour dream coat. And Joseph, as we know from the series that Mark's been doing on him, he was a dreamer. He was somebody who'd got big dreams from God. And those dreams landed him in trouble with his brothers. They got fed up of him talking about how one day they would all bow down to him. And so they decided to get rid of him. They said, "Here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." One of his brothers, Reuben, persuaded the others that perhaps killing him wasn't such a good idea. But they did decide to throw him into a cistern, a kind of water tank, a well, a deep pit. It was didn't have any water in it, fortunately, so he wasn't going to drown. But, you know, can you imagine what it must have been like for Joseph? You know, he'd been sent by his father to check that his brothers were okay. They were looking after the sheep, and he'd been sent, you know, to find out how they were getting on and everything. And suddenly his own brothers had turned on him and manhandled him into a cistern. And they'd left him there all alone. It would have been dark, you know, a cold place, no means of escape. You know, life had suddenly taken a turn for the worse. You know, and it must have been harder for him because it was his own brothers that had done that. And it's hard for us when we've got problems in our families. You know, when the relationships with the people we love the most break down and the people that we love turn on us. You know, we could say, well, you know, Joseph hadn't helped himself, perhaps, because he'd certainly seemed to boast a bit when he'd been telling his father and his brothers about his dreams. But even so, to find yourself so unpopular with your own family that you're thrown into a pit and they've plotted to kill you, that's a dark place to be. Ultimately, his brothers got him out of the cistern, but then they sold him as a slave to Midianite traders. So that's not much better either, is it? You know, Joseph experienced firsthand the breakdown of family relationships. He had to live in a foreign country for many years. He was estranged from his family. And that's not a nice place to be. Many of us might face problems at times in our family relationships. Sometimes, you know, that might be because of things that we've said or done wrong that we bitterly regret. Sometimes, though, it might be because of things that are completely beyond our control. If you're facing some kind of problem with your family and you feel alienated and alone, we can bring that situation to God. Joseph had to wait a long time for reconciliation, but we know that in the end that came. Sometimes, though, the pits that we face are definitely as a result of our own behaviour and our own foolishness. Jonah is a case in point of that. We've all heard of Jonah and the whale, I'm sure. Jonah was a prophet. He was sent by God to preach to the people of Nineveh. But the problem was, he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to do what God had told him to do. And so he ran away in the opposite direction to Tarshish. He got on a boat at Joppa and he sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. And sometimes we do that, don't we? You know, we don't like the things that God says to us. We try to get out of doing what he wants us to do. But God's greater than we are. We can't hide from his presence anywhere, the Psalms tell us. And a great storm blew up. And in order to save the life of the ship's crew, they decided to throw Jonah overboard. Now he's in an even worse position because he's been chucked overboard. In Jonah 1, verse 17, it says, "The Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Now that must have seemed like another pit of peril, because being inside a fish can't be much fun. I mean, just the smell of fish is quite overpowering. When I go to the fish market in Barnsley, you know, the smell of fish is, you know, it can turn the stomach, you know. And that's when it's fresh and all right, you know, without, you know, being inside the fish, smelling everything that this big fish had swallowed. In Jonah 2, we read his description of what that experience was like. Verses 3 and 5 and 6 say, "You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. If you've accidentally ever swallowed a mouthful of water when you're swimming, you know that feeling, don't you? The desperation that you get when you get water into your lungs because you shouldn't have it there, and you start coughing and spluttering. That's what Jonah must have felt like. You know, when we disobey God, when we do stupid things, there are often really unpleasant consequences to face, and we feel as though we're drowning in despair. But the good news is God is able to rescue us from all situations, even those which we've brought on ourselves. Jonah prayed from inside the belly of the fish, and he said, "You, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit." We see that God commanded the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. It gave him the opportunity to go to Nineveh and obey God after all. God is the God of second chances. He helps us even when we've messed things up ourselves. You know, often we beat ourselves up when we realise that we've done something wrong. We can find it hard to forget. We can find it hard to forgive ourselves, to believe that God can ever use us again after we've failed, after we've sinned. But Jonah's a powerful reminder to us. God can even use us when we've been blatantly disobedient. There's always an opportunity to repent, to turn around and to come back to the Father's loving arms. Cutlass sing, "I see you staring at the sky, all of your regrets just running down your face. You think you finally crossed the line, feel you've sealed your fate, but it's never too late to call on him." Both Jonah and later on in the New Testament when we read about the prodigal son are vivid reminders to us that God is able to rescue us from our mistakes, from our stubbornness, from our disobedience. We don't have to despair, even if the pit of peril that we're in is of our own making, because we've got a gracious God who rescues us from those pits as well. But quite often, the pit that we might find ourselves in is not because we've done anything wrong at all. We can be a bit heartless sometimes, you know, towards people when they're in trouble. We can say that they've only got themselves to blame, and we can say things like, "Oh, well, if they'd not been so stupid as to get involved with the wrong crowd or, you know, do the wrong thing, they'd have been fine. They'd never have got into that pit." And sometimes, you know, we like that idea that battles and troubles only come to people who deserve them, because we feel then that that should protect us from trouble. If we do our best to avoid it, then we should never have to face any trouble. But the fact is, sometimes we find ourselves in trouble, in pits of peril, through no fault of our own, even when we're totally doing God's will. And Jeremiah is an example of that. Jeremiah was a prophet who lived in difficult times. He lived when Israel was about to be overcome by the Babylonians and taken off into exile. And the people in Israel, especially the rulers, didn't want to believe that any trouble was ahead. They thought that as God's people, God would always bless them and never judge them. So they pretty much did whatever they want. They ignored whatever God was saying. They thought they could get away with it forever. And so they didn't like what Jeremiah had to say. Because Jeremiah said, "This city will certainly be given into the hands of the army of the king of Babylon, who will capture it." And because they didn't like the message, the officials persuaded the king that they needed to get rid of the messenger, Jeremiah. The king was weak-willed and he gave in to their pressure. And in Jeremiah 38 verse 8 we read that they took Jeremiah and they put him into the cistern of Malchijah, the king's son, which was in the courtyard of the guard. They lowered Jeremiah by ropes into the cistern. It had no water in it, only mud, and Jeremiah sank down into the mud. He'd done nothing wrong, nothing to deserve being banished like that. He'd simply spoken God's word faithfully for years, but he too ended up in a pit of peril. Instead of being left alone, he was left to sink into the mud. You know, the dirt, the smell, the feeling of sinking. You know, that feeling of helplessness. You can't actually make things better. You know, how far was he going to sink? Was it going to be like quicksand that sucks you in, you know, and you die that way? Or was he just going to be left there and starve to death? Neither option seems much of a reward, does it, for a prophet who's been faithful to God? You know, that's all he'd done. He'd faithfully spoken God's word year in, year out, and now he was in a pit. And no one could help him, surely, because the king had commanded this. It must have been a very dark and lonely place for him. But though these three pits show us that, you know, life isn't always a bed of roses, it's not always smooth and easy, it shows us that we can find ourselves in desperate situations. You know, the pits that we might be in can be very different. Relationship problems with our spouse, with our children, with our parents, with our friends, with our work colleagues. You know, pits that involve loneliness and fear and depression, and even, like Jeremiah, outright persecution. These battles can be difficult for us, because when you're in that pit, you're in a deep place and you can't see any way out. You can't imagine any rescue. But David said in that psalm we looked at the start that we've got hope because we don't have to get ourselves out of the pit. It's God who lifts us out of the slimy pit, out of the mud, out of the mire, and sets our feet on a rock and gives us that firm place to stand. And he can do that in different ways. For Joseph, God used Reuben and the Midianites to save his life and to lead him to Egypt, where ultimately one day he would save the whole world when the whole world was in famine. The pit and the prison, which were the unpleasant experiences for Joseph, ultimately turned out to be part of God's great plan of salvation. When he was reunited with his brothers all those years later, he said to them, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Joseph's dreams were fulfilled in ways that he could never have predicted as a 17-year-old. And you know, God can use unexpected people to help in our deliverance. Proverbs 16 verse 7 says, "When the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, he causes their enemies to make peace with them." You know, God constantly surprises us how he rescues us through unexpected people. He even ultimately got a foreign king, Cyrus, to issue a decree to allow his people to return to Israel after the exile. You know, we should never underestimate God's ability to rescue us, even when there seems no way out to us. In the case of Jonah, we see how God used a large fish, not to harm him ultimately, but to save him, to give him the opportunity to serve God again, even when he'd messed up. Inside the fish, Jonah called to the Lord, and he answered me. "From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry," he says. You know, God is able, Paul says, to make all circumstances work together for good for us. You know, if we think it's amazing that even our enemies can be made to live at peace with us, how much more amazing is it when God can use all circumstances, even those tragedies and trials that we find so hard, for good? The testimony of so many people is that the really hard times they've gone through have been used by God to bless them and to help them and to help other people in ways that they could never have imagined at the time. And we need reminding of that, because when we're going through the trials, when we're in the pit, it's hard to believe that deliverance can come. But Jonah reminds us that God is able to save us and rescue us in the most unlikely ways. In the case of Jeremiah, God had people in high places, people who were prepared to risk their lives to save Jeremiah's. It tells us that Ebed-Melech, a Cushite, an official in the royal palace, heard that they'd put Jeremiah into the cistern. While the king was sitting in the Benjamin gate, Ebed-Melech went out of the palace and said to him, "My lord the king, these men have acted wickedly in all they've done to Jeremiah the prophet. They've thrown him into a cistern where he will starve to death when there is no longer any bread in the city." Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Cushite, "Take 30 men from here with you and lift Jeremiah the prophet out of the cistern before he dies." So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went to a room under the treasury in the palace. He took some old rags and worn out clothes from there, and he let them down with ropes to Jeremiah in the cistern. Ebed-Melech the Cushite said to Jeremiah, "Put these old rags and worn out clothes under your arms to pad the ropes." Jeremiah did so, and they pulled him up with the ropes and lifted him out of the cistern. You know, Jeremiah may well have felt alone and forsaken when he was in that muddy cistern. He may have thought, well, who can overrule the king's edict? But God had got the right person in place at the right time, and he was able to speak up on Jeremiah's behalf. God's never taken by surprise. He's never floundering around to sort things out as we are. He's always in control. He can use all kinds of people and all kinds of circumstances, all kinds of coincidences to rescue us. Troubles without number may surround us, the psalmist says. Our sins overtake us so that we face all kinds of peril. But we can still be confident that as we wait patiently for the Lord, as we call to him out of the depths of our distress, he hears our cries for help and he rescues us. If you feel like you're in a pit of peril today, you don't have to wait for international rescue to come and rescue you. God will. The psalmist said in Psalm 31, "In my alarm I said, I'm cut off from your sight." When we're in a dark place, we feel cut off, even from God. But that verse in Psalm 31 goes on to say, "You heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help." God hears us. He's our rock of refuge. He's a strong fortress to save us. The God who saved Jonah and Joseph and Jeremiah can save us from our pits of peril, and he can give us a firm place to stand and a new song to sing. We can testify that God is able to deliver us from evil and rescue us from danger. We can ask God to be our rock of refuge, our strong fortress to save us. When we face opposition and persecution from people, we can pray, "Rescue me from their ravages, my precious life from those lions." We can learn to say that God rescues us unharmed from the battle waged against me. When we sin, when we mess up, we can come before God in repentance and ask for his cleansing and forgiveness, as David did. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions." And when we face opposition and persecution, even though we might not have done anything wrong, we can take heart from what Jesus told his disciples. "In this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Most of all, we know that God's deliverance and God's rescue doesn't depend on our righteousness and our goodness, but on God's unfailing love. He rescues us because he delights in us, not because we deserve it. We've got hope that blessings will run alongside the troubles. Rescue will come in God's time, because of his unfailing love. It's not down to us. It's not up to us. Psalm 121 verse 2 says, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Whether we need individual rescue, whether we need collective help, we can be confident that God will rescue us, that he'll put our feet on a rock. He'll give us a firm place to stand, and he'll put a new song of praise to him in our mouths.